know, my mother called me Randy. Well, it's good to see you tonight. I'm glad that you made it. Boy, I'm telling you, you all have hot weather down here. Especially 3 feet higher in the air, wouldn't you not say? Up here. But it's good to be with you. Thank you so much for coming. You know, amazing thing, the love of God. Do you ever wonder why God loves you? Especially when often we don't display a real love for Him. And when we didn't know Him, in fact, when we were His enemy, the Bible says, He loved us and gave Jesus to save us from our sins. And so tonight I trust that you'll give your attention to the Word of God. Thank the Lord for the singing. What a blessing, a preparation to listen to God's truth. And if you will, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Now, as we look at this chapter, if you are familiar much with the Scripture, you will understand that we are speaking from the sermon on Mars Hill. Paul is on Mars Hill, and he's preaching to a bunch of real smart people. Philosophers, PhDs, whoever, some of the most educated of that day, he was speaking to that group. And I want us to begin to read with verse 29, and we'll read through the remainder of the chapter. So if you would please stand with me as we read the Word of God. Verse 29 says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray again. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, we realize that sometimes the things we consider simple and take for granted are some of the greatest blessings that we ever receive. One of them is the privilege to sit and listen to your truth. I pray tonight that you will have each heart open and that the Holy Spirit will guide each truth, each word to each of our hearts. That you'll meet needs, that you'll bring conviction according to need, comfort according to need, salvation as it is needed, encouragement as it is needed, or do the work that only you can do. And we're going to give you the glory for speaking to our hearts through your truth. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, tonight we're going on to, test four, I believe. And tonight you're not going to have to answer the question, because we are going to look at God's Word, and I'm going to show us the answer to each of these questions from the Bible. Now, the key question is the subject for the message. Simply two words: why repent? Repentance is found throughout the Word of God and emphasized as a need for every individual. But oftentimes individuals say, well, why repent? Well, we know that God says so, And sometimes, though, we take it lightly. The words that we read here and the individuals to whom Paul spoke were individuals that did not know God. The judgment that he speaks of here is the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment involved where unsaved folks will stand and be judged according to their works. Now, there are two judgments. There's the judgment seat of Christ where every one of us who is saved will stand. And the Bible says that in effect there, God will try our works as to what sort they are. And then he lists several different sorts. But the question tonight is, will God judge sin? Will God judge sinners? Some folks say yes, some folks say no, but the truth of the matter is God's judgment of sinners began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve rebelled against the Lord. The Lord expelled them from the garden and they lost their fellowship with Him. The modern concept of God differs greatly from the Bible writers, men like Amos, like Ezekiel, men like Paul, like John. Both testaments set forth God as a perfect personality. God is a God of love, of mercy, and of long-suffering. If He was not, you and I would not be here tonight. But God is also a God of justice, wrath, and judgment. I fear today God is presented from many pulpits like a doleful old granddad sitting in a rocking chair up in heaven, too filled with cheap sentimentality to judge sin. But nothing could be less true than that. Psalm 7:11, God says He is angry with the wicked every day, and I believe God. Presenting God in a non-biblical fashion has resulted in fewer people trusting Jesus as their own personal Savior. Sometimes folks say, well, I don't believe you ought to scare people concerning this matter of salvation. Well, listen, I would rather be scared and saved than to be sued only to scorch in the fires of hell forever and forever. The preaching on the judgment of God continues and remains to be one of the greatest incentives, if not the greatest incentive, to folks repenting and receiving Jesus as Savior. There are some folks who approach this matter with the statement like the psalmist made in Psalm 10:11, God hath forgotten. But immediately in the book of Amos in chapter 8 and verse 7, God there is referring to individuals through Amos. He talks to folks that do not know Him. And as He speaks to them, He's talking to them about their sin, their situation, and He reminds them with these words, I will never forget. Now the only time that God forgets sin and puts sin behind Him is when an individual confesses his or her sin, and receive Christ into their heart as their own personal Savior. I call that when God has amnesia. Amen? When He has amnesia with regard to our sins. But if an individual does not repent of his or her sins, God says, I will never forget. As we think about the matter of judgment, we need to look at some of the details. We'll do a little bit of Bible walking here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, God talks about the matter of judgment. And this is what He says in 12, 13, and 14. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If you look over into Matthew chapter 12, God says there will be judgment on every idle word. So God tells us that every secret thing, every thought, every work every idle word shall come before him in judgment. God will judge sin. Why? There are four reasons that I want us to look at tonight. Number one, because God has appointed a day. You see, the time has already been set. God has a calendar. But God's calendar is not like your calendar and my calendar. But on God's calendar, there is a day that is set for judgment and with specific regard to the great white throne of judgment. Now, when God sets a time for something to happen, it's going to happen. In Noah's day, God judged the world. And all of the imps of hell and all the ingenuity of man could not stop God's judgment. The water came, the flood came, the earth was wiped clean of all humanity save eight souls. God said it was going to happen, and it did. There are two eternal appointments that everybody's going to keep. Now, I don't know how you are about remembering appointments, but sometimes we get confused, and my wife is grinning. Sometime recently, not in the far distant past, we went to what we thought was a doctor's appointment. And when we got there, they looked on their books and they said, "You don't have an appointment." And we failed to see the two appointments that we really had and missed. Now, you know that happens when you are on this earth. Your mind sometimes plays the trick on you. But you know there are two appointments you're going to keep. We're not going to be late for them. We're going to be there. For those of us who are saved, it's the judgment seat of Christ. But those who are lost, it's a great white throne judgment. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "For as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." There are two divine appointments God has set that everybody is going to keep. And you know, I've noticed through the years that death has no favorites so far as age is concerned. I remember in my next to last pastorate, an individual walking down an aisle with a basket. I've preached the funerals of 6-year-old babies, 9-year-old young people, 19-year-old teenagers, 84-year-old great-granddads. You know, death does not favor age. Age does not influence death. The Bible lets all of us know that we have two divine appointments. One of them is with death. The other is with judgment. Now, those who are liable for this judgment, as we've already said, are individuals who do not know Christ as personal Savior. So God has already appointed a day. The time is set, it's on His calendar. But God has gone further than that. God, secondly, also has authorized the standard. Now, sometimes you and I have real problems with regard to the standard. We have a bad habit. Sometimes it overtakes us. And we like to make our own standard. Usually, that standard by which we measure ourselves is somebody else we know who may not profess to be a Christian. And usually we choose somebody that we believe is just about that much shorter than we are spiritually. And we begin to compare ourselves with ourselves. Listen to what God says about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "For we dare not make ourselves of the number that, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." Notice, "but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You notice how many times themselves is it? Themselves. Sometimes we're prone to pick out somebody and compare ourselves to them. But do you realize that you ought not to compare yourself by anybody on this earth? Not by your preacher, not by this preacher, not by a deacon. For you see, all of us are sinners. And the thing is, none of us meet the standard that God has authorized. God's standard, folks, is perfection. Now, do we have any perfect people in here? If we do, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to come up here and you tell us how it's done. Righteousness means perfection, and righteousness is God's standard. He tells us that in the text. He tells us that He has already appointed the judge and He has authorized the standard. And His standard is righteousness. Now we have a problem. Romans 3:10 tells us our problem. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, immediately that eliminates all of us who are here tonight. There's not a righteous individual. Well, preacher, where am I going to find that perfection? That perfection that God demands is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is perfect. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So how can I appear in perfection before God? The only way I can is in Jesus. So tonight it behooves each of us. You know, this message can serve as a message of assurance as well as a message of conviction for anybody who may be here without Jesus. So we can look at ourselves and say, you know, have I really repented? Is Jesus really in my heart? Has my life really been changed? Because that's what repentance means. Repentance simply means to turn around, to head in the other direction. And the Lord reminds us that we must have repentance if we are going to stand justified before Him. So God has set the standard. He's authorized the standard. We already know what it is. You know, the Bible tells us the best that you and I can do in the face of God. It's found in Isaiah 64:6, where God says this, all our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. Now the rags referred to there are very significant because the reference is made to the rags that were used to wrap the putrid sores caused by leprosy. So God says the best any of us can do in ourselves and in our flesh, so far as He is concerned, at Him looking off, is as filthy rags, putrefying rags in His sight. By nature, so far as God is concerned, we have no righteousness. That's one thing that causes me to really be moved, Kevin, by the song, Who Am I? Who am I? Who are you? Why should God care for us? The best we can produce in and of ourselves is filthy rags in His sight. But thank God He loved us and gave a provision whereby we could have the righteousness of Christ that satisfies the holiness of God, that we might appear in His presence justified. Can you imagine in the presence of God, in Jesus, you appear just as if you had never sinned. Now, you're talking about a glorious thought. Talking about something to get excited about. To me, that's something to get excited about. Because God is holy and we are sinful. But God loved us enough to make a provision so that we could appear before Him in the righteousness of His only begotten Son, bought for us through His life, death, burial, resurrection, the completed work of salvation. God has authorized a standard in its righteousness. There's a third thing that comes to mind, and that is God has already assigned the judge. Who is it? He tells us right here, that man whom He hath ordained. You see, the Father is not going to be the judge. John 5:22 tells us the Father judgeth no man, but gives all judgment to the Son. Do you realize tonight that the same Savior that opens His arms and invites you, if you don't know Him, to come in and receive His forgiveness, will be the one before whom one day you will stand, and He then will mete out justice. Not mercy, justice. So the Christ that an individual has the opportunity to receive when mercy is here, and it is tonight, will be the same Christ before whom that individual will stand if he or she refuses to trust Jesus at the great white throne judgment. The one who offers mercy will be the one who metes out justice. How sure can we be of this? Well, He tells us that too. He says, whereof He hath raised Him from the dead. Just as sure tonight as Jesus lives, this judgment will take place. And I don't know about you, but I think I know about you. I believe the song, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. Jesus is alive. And God says, because He is alive, I have given you the assurance that you need that what I'm talking about here will take place. As sure as Jesus lives, there will be judgment. But there is a fourth thing, and that is that God has announced the results. You see, the Lord already has told us what will transpire, and He has told us the results of that judgment. But sometimes in the flesh we are inclined to sort of put things off and think that everything will be all right. This is the problem. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Go back to some of the things we have just said. God has forgotten. God has put it off. We look at delay. Sometimes the individual do something that's wrong. He or she knows that it's wrong. They fail to get right at that time with God. They think because nothing bad happens in consequences, most of the consequences are bad, but because none of the consequences seem to be bad, they think that everything is all right. But God says, because judgment against evil is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are set in them to do evil. Listen, because God doesn't do something quickly doesn't mean God's not going to do anything. You remember one of the messages we talked about, God's timing. God's timing is not our timing. But because it hasn't happened does not mean that it will not happen. For God says because he doesn't do it quickly does not mean that he will not do it. And you see, here's the key. All we have is time. We're using our time right now. Our time at most is short. And let me say this to you. The longer down the road that you go, the shorter it seems the time has been. And the faster time moves. But all you and I have is whatever time we have here. We don't know how much we're going to have. We don't know how long you're going to be here. But you see, God has all eternity to work his work as he chooses in each life. And he does it by the choices that we make. Refuse Christ. Rebel against him. Say no to his truth. And this is what will happen. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know, God's keeping a set of books. God has a record on each of us. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, here it is again, according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You're born once, you die twice. You're born twice, you only die once. And whosoever's not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I'm going to put my holy imagination to work. I don't know this is the way it's going to be. But I think it's going to be something along this sort. An individual stands before God at the great white throne judgment. And I envision a large screen. And across it will be something like this. This is your life. You remember that program some of you years ago? This is your life. The angel's going to open the book. And he's going to begin to look for a name in the Lamb's book of life. And he's going to respond to the judge and say, I find no record of his or her name. We're talking about an individual who's never trusted Jesus as Savior. And if you don't know Jesus, you might say, well, there must be some mistake. And there will have been a bad one. But it will not be on God's part. It will be on the individual's part. And the sad thing here tonight, if you're without Jesus, you may be getting ready to make that bad mistake in just a few minutes. You see, when we deal with God and God's business as it relates to us, our opportunities will not be forever. When they come, we need to grasp them. Now, everybody who has listened to the message tonight, whether you be a Christian receiving it for edification, assurance of salvation, you know the Lord. This helps you to confirm that. Or whether you're here without Jesus, you do not know him as Savior. Everybody here is going to do one of three things. And you know, the interesting thing is all of these are found at the close of this message. You're either going to mock, or you're going to procrastinate, or you're going to believe. It's all right here. The Bible lets us know there were some of them that scorned, but they scorned him. It says, mocking. Well, that's what you believe. You ever heard that? I don't see it that way. So what? The way you see it or I see it doesn't change what he is. Not only will there be mocking, there be procrastination. Well, I tell you what, I've thought about it, preacher, but I'll put it off till a little bit later. I'll take care of it sometime. But you know, the Bible never says that with regard to salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The book never says anything about tomorrow. But some may put it off. And then there's the final thing. There's some that believed right here. He said, tells us that some believed, clave to him, followed him. Have you ever looked at your calendar closely? You say, that's a foolish question. Have you looked carefully at the headings on the columns? If you have, you'll find Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But there is no someday. Someday is today. If there's something in your heart you're not right with God, the day is today. Not someday, but today. I plead with you, if you're here without Jesus, to repent. Receive him as your Savior. If you are not sure, make sure tonight, because death is sure. It's an appointment. Judgment is sure. You need to know him and know for sure that you know him. You may be here a Christian. God has jarred your mind in this area. Or maybe you're here and you really don't know Jesus. You need to trust him. We can't make it without his righteous robe. Our rags do not fix us in his sight. Only the righteousness of Jesus. May we bow our heads to praise.